Welcome to this very last session at the Tech Days. And I hope that you enjoy the 3 days that you pass with us. Okay, my name is David Herney. I'm working in the Belux team. I'm in charge of Windows Phone. And let's talk a little bit about security. It's always very challenging to talk about security because each of us have a specific point of view on what you have to accomplish in the security as an IT guy or as a developer. Thus, here I will try to make with you a kind of big pictures about what we have implemented in Windows Phone 8. And the first part of the talk will be what's the security goal? Means it's really important for us, means that for Microsoft, what we would like to achieve in terms of security in a Windows Phone and what we think it's important to have in this phone. Then we're going to talk a little bit about the integrity of the system, means what the different services and what the different architectures we put in the operating system to create what we call a secure operating system and, of course, a trustable phone. Then we're going to talk a little bit about the application platform security, means that I will explain what we have put inside, how we protect the application, and also how we protect the user. Then we're going to talk a little bit about the data protection, because of course you've got a lot of data on your phone. You store documents, maybe your application access some specific information from your corporate side. This I will explain how we protect that. Then we're going to cover the access control and the application management. Because you know, user can download application from the store, but probably you would like to integrate as well application coming from your corporate. And I will explain how we can create a kind of ecosystem where your corporate application can live together with the public application and to avoid to compromise the system and, of course, to compromise your network infrastructures. And, of course, when we talk about security, never say never, you know. If something goes wrong, we never can say it's never going to happen. That's what we have put in place in order to protect you or to protect your user if something goes wrong. Thus, as you know, Windows Phone 8 is a brand new operating system, but it's also a brand new device. And a lot of people ask me questions about why can I can't upgrade my Windows Phone 7 to Windows Phone 8? Why should I upgrade my Windows Phone 7 to 7.8 and not 8.0? I will not give you the full pictures and the full answers of that, but I will give you a piece of answer, and probably you will understand why it's not just an update of the operating system, but it's really an update of the entire platform. And Windows Phone 8 uses the same kernel as Windows 8. And of course, it helps us a lot because we share the same control, we share the same operating system, means that it's very easy for OEMs or very easy for constructors to develop device driver, to share the code, to adapt the new technology. They don't have to create two different systems. This is very, very simple for the OEMs to create a system and to have the speed to access all those new devices which are coming on the market. And the first thing when we talk about security as a Microsoft, the first thing when we implement the security, of course, is always the user first. We always did all the decision we made in the implementation of the security of the phone is always, first of all, to protect the user experience of the user. Who is an IT pro in the room? Because I know that who is an IT pro? There are some IT pro here? No? Only developers? Only one? Okay, good. Probably you're not going to like what we have implemented because, you know, IT pro in a company are really aware about the security. And since early 90s, they would like to have the control of the system and the control of the apps and control of everything you have in the phone. And they would like to protect the user again themselves, but mainly they would like to protect the integrity of their infrastructures. And thus, in our security, the way we implement the security on the Windows Phone was always first to protect the user experience. We don't want to have something on a phone that when a user needs to do something, he has to fill a PIN code and then a password and then use a second device. And, you know, it must be simple. It must be very clear for the user. And it must be at transparent. The second thing which is important for us when we implement the security is the end user safety. Why? Because, of course, you have a lot of features on your phone. You have the location-based services. You've got pictures. Probably you've got some corporate information, password. You have a lot of information in your phone, and the user can become a target. And most of the time, the user is not aware about what he's doing because it's technology. He goes on a website. He uses the location-based services. He's connected to a public wireless. We want to protect as well the user against themselves, just to avoid that someone can beat the phone or someone can track the data they have in it or someone can take the control of the phone. The third important point for us as well in terms of security is the developer trust. Why? Imagine as a developer, you developed a mobile banking application and with the Windows Phone 8, you can come and say, you can trust my application, because my application runs on a trust platform. This is also very useful for you and is very useful for us, because you can come in any customer and say, okay, you can use this kind of phone, you can use my app is secure, and the phone is secure as well. Thus, you have a full secure environment to run your solution. And of course, the last point, which is really important, is brand new as well for Windows Phone 8, is what we call the business compliancy. Windows Phone 8 is a manageable device. It means that the IT can decide to deploy policies, can decide to manage corporate app, can decide if they want to remove the corporate app they have installed on a phone, and even, for example, they can decide if I want to revoke this phone from my corporate network. That's really the security goal we would like to achieve with the phone, and the four point that we think which is very, very important for us. Thus, to start with that, of course, we need to start very early in the process. We start as soon as you press the power button, because imagine a Windows phone running a software environment, and as soon as you push the power button is the first opportunity for someone to put a malware on phone. And if you are very, very early in the process, of course, after that, you can take the control on everything in the phone, from the bootloader to the operating system and to any kind of apps with running on the phone. This is why on Windows Phone 8, we have implemented what we call the secure bootloader, which is the first step. And then after that, I will go further in the process just after. We have implemented what we call a secure UEFI. I'm sorry if the pronunciation is not right. It's UEFI. It replaced the BIOS. I will go deeper in that as well. And just to be sure that before the operating system starts, we are running a secure process with full of keys and encryption and everything. And it's become very, very complicated to interact with this part of the process. And it's very complicated to integrate a piece of software before the operating system starts. And that's the way we think that we can build a trusted platform if we are managing from the beginning of the startup of the phone till the startup of the operating system. Okay, let's start with the first step. You press the power button. The first thing we start on the phone is what we call the pre-bootloader. The pre-bootloader is provided by SOC vendor for Windows Phone is Qualcomm. And the requirement from Microsoft from Windows Phone 8 is the pre-bootloader must be signed and secure. We provide the key. They sign the pre-boot process, and the pre-boot process is just there to start up the chip and to prepare the loading of the BIOS, the loading of what we call the BIOS, it's UEFI. And this part is already secure and signed. Then, after that, we've got what we call the bootloader itself. It's based on secure UEFI, and it's encrypted and signed. You can compare that to the BIOS of a PC. UFI is a standard. Most of the OEM constructors use the UFI today, and UFI is an application platform as well. And of course, it means that we can interact with this part of the process, but you need the key to go there, you need some encryption key, you need some specific key to be able to interact with this part. And the first thing to start is because it's an application, the first point is the OEM part, means that every constructor has its own OEM UFI component to start the device. It comes from HTC or from Nokia or from the different OEMs that we have today. And the role of this part is to start the chips, to start the sensors, to start all the electronic part you have in a phone, load the driver, and wake up the phone. Then, after that, we provide what we call the Microsoft Windows Phone Bootloader. It's also signed. It must be signed with what we call the PK. I will explain that just later. And it's just there to manage the way that the phone will boot, and also to manage if the operating system that we launch just after the BIOS is correct, is the right version, signed version by Microsoft, not corrupted. This is really there to control if everything is going well. And of course, it's in sequence. You've got the pre-boot, you've got the OEM start, we've got the Microsoft Windows Phone Bootloader, and then if everything's going well, the operating system starts. And the operating system start, of course, it's also signed, and the key will be checked by the UFI to see, okay, it's the right version of the operating system, no compromise. Okay, we can start now a secure platform. We are sure that all the line is correct. We prepare as well a second case, in case of you have to make some update. It's what we call the Windows Phone Update OS bootloader. It's also signed by us. And it's there just in case you want to update some keys in the UFI, because UFI is just a question of key. We can upload key, we can update key there. And for example, if you want to make an update of the operating system, that's the way to do it. And of course, it's also the only way to do it. And the only people who have control to this is Microsoft. If something's wrong, because sometimes it's happened, we have the boot flashing mode. It means that if the Windows boot phone manager detect that the operating system you have on your phone is corrupt, or you try to use a custom build if you attempt and try, and maybe one day you successfully push an operating system there, the Windows Phone Boot Manager will detect it. And of course, in this case, it will not go to the operating system. It stay in the UFI and start what we call the boot flashing mode. Normally, it's never happened. I hope for you it's never happier to you as well. You can consider that as a blue screen, and the phone is blocked. Most of the time, when it's happened, you have to bring it back to the constructors or to the store and say something's wrong, and they've got the tools to reflash the phone with a new operating system. That's really the way we protect every layer of the operating system and be sure that when the operating system starts, normally all the things are secure and nothing is there to compromise the operating system. Let's start with, first of all, with the pre-boot. The pre-boot, I told you, is built by the SOC. This is built by Qualcomm in this case. And the first thing they do is they take the chip and they create different keys, some unique keys, some common keys. They put it in a chip, burn some fuse, and it means that now this chip becomes read-only. And the chip contains unique key per phone, means that each phone has its own unique key, for example, to manage the device encryption. The device encryption is not managed by the operating system, it's really managed by the hardware. And we have hardware accelerator to be sure that there is no impact on the performance of the phone. But everything is encrypted through BitLocker. I will go further with that. And every phone gets a unique key. Also, we put some common keys. The common keys are used, for example, to start the UEFI operating system or to be able to check if everything is there. But there is no way to change those keys because they really burn the fuse and it's really only forever. And the second thing which is important, there is no secure bypass for user. It means that there is no way to put there a custom build like we can do, for example, for other phones or even on Windows phones or some Windows phone. There is no way to say, okay, I've got the tools coming from somewhere and I would like to put another operating system on my Windows Phone 8. No way. Just because everything, you need so many keys and you need so many different tools to be able to do that, and nobody have all the keys today. After that, we've got the secure UEFI. That's the second step. It's my big orange square. And UEFI is just a question of keys. In UEFI, I told you I have different module because it's an application platform. My slide will be available online. It's just all the slides will be available. Just you will be able to download it. All the key will be there. The master key, the platform key, is the you know, it's a bridge between the hardware and the software. The master key is really there to say, okay, my UEFI environment is safe, everything's okay, and it's the only way to be have a read access in the UEFI environment. And also in this UEFI environment, I have also a database with keys. This part is software. And I can have there, for example, keys to allow some image of Windows Phone 8. But for example, imagine that something goes wrong and we detect on the market that someone built a fake operating system and of course assign a key. We can also put by the update this key in this database and say this operating system now is forbidden. This key is now is forbidden. And if it happens, the phone will just go in flashing mode. This is really there to protect the integrity of the phone since the beginning of the chain. And the last point, which is important as well in the UEFI bootloader, is that every component must be signed. Thus, every component must be signed by Microsoft. Thus, if someone wants to add something in this part of the structures, in this part of these architectures, they must send those code to us. We sign it. And then we are able to put it down in the UEFI environment through an update. That's for the different part when I just boot up the phone. Then, after that, of course, you launch the operating system. The operating system is signed. Of course, it's encrypted by this unique key, and it means as well that every module in the operating system must have a digital signature. In my slide, I say it must be signed by Microsoft. It's true for the OS component, for the application, for public application. When you send your application to the marketplace, what we are doing is we check your application against malware. We check everything inside your application and check if you nothing's wrong in your app. We sign the app. And then it's why you are able to install this app on the phone. An app which is not signed is not able to be installed on the phone, except in some cases, and it's what I'm going to explain later. Thus, we let some room for enterprise, for example, to deploy a custom enterprise application without passing through this marketplace and without passing through this certification process. I will explain that how to do that, but in this case, it becomes your responsibility. But with all the layers we've put in place, I told you it becomes very difficult to integrate a custom build in a phone or to integrate a custom component which is not signed or not verified by someone. Now, because we have talked about the boot, we've talked about the pre-boot, the boot, we start the operating system. Now let's talk about apps. Because, you know, in Windows Phone, we have many apps. And All the operating system, what's the architecture of the operating system, what's the structure of that? We have created what we call the chamber security model. It means that every app runs its own sandbox. It means that every app cannot interact with another app. There is no way. We have no no connection between applications. If two applications have to communicate between each other, they have to pass through somewhere else. We have no communication between applications. And the data becomes below to the application itself as well. Thus, when you are in an app, there is no way for another app to interact with that. And to manage that, we have created different chamber security model. The highest one is what we call the trusted computer-based. Today on Windows Phone 7 is where the operating system, the device driver, runs. Of course, there is a risk there, because if someone takes the control of a device driver, okay, it's possible, huh? Never say never. In this case, it will receive the, and of course for us, it's also the probability is very high. It's where the hacker, for example, always attack the operating system, is through this part, is through the device driver. But on Windows Phone 7, everything's run there. After that, we have two different chambers, is elevated right and standard right, mainly for OS component and what we call the cross-OS application, for example, like music, because music is used by different applications inside your operating system. Thus, we have created those chambers for those specific applications, but mainly OS components and OS application. That was on Windows Phone 7. And all the third-party application, all the application is coming from the store, run in a least privileged chamber. And the least privileged chamber are created ad hoc, means that each time we install an app, it's at that moment that it creates this specific application chamber. Just imagine you have an app, you install it. At that moment, the operating system will create a specific sandbox for this application. And instead of having, you know, when you develop an app, you declare what we call the capabilities. The capabilities is what you can do with an app. I'm going to use the location-based services. I'm going to use the internet connection. I'm going to use the camera. I'm going to use all the different features you have on a phone. And to reduce the surface attack, we create the chamber and open only the capabilities that you declare in the app. It's also why, as a developer, you have to check what kind of capabilities you are using with an application. And it's just really there to reduce what we call the attack surface. And also to be sure that if something's wrong, if a malware takes the control of this chamber, it will have the least privilege and only the capabilities that you declare in your application. That was the case on Windows Phone 7. There are some differences between Windows Phone 7 and Windows Phone 8 on capabilities, because as a developer on Windows Phone 7, it was very easy. I can even check all the capabilities, and when I ingest my application in the store detects exactly what kind of capabilities you use in your code, clean it, and you have a list of the exact capabilities you are using. Thus, it was very easy for a developer to say, okay, I'm lazy, I don't want to check those things, and I send it, and anyway, the store will fix it for me. But in Windows Phone 8, it's not the case anymore. In Windows Phone 8, it's really a contract between you, your app, and the store. And you must be very you must declare precisely what kind of capabilities you are using in your application. If you put something wrong there, the application will be rejected at the certification and will say, okay, you declare that you are using the location-based services, but you don't use it in your app. Okay, refuse. Please remove it first from your code, and then resubmit again. The process now is more deep inside the code, and they check deeply about what we are using with those capabilities. And there is a reason for that. It's because on Windows Phone 8, we change a little bit the model of the application chamber. We simplify it. We still have the trusted computing based, but only the operating system run there, only the kernel, nothing else. No drivers anymore, no OS component. It's just the kernel run there. And all the rest means that device driver, component, everything run in the least privileged chamber. It was quite challenging, because imagine that you developed a device driver and your device driver will run in a least privileged chamber. The advantage of that is the code is reduced, the driver have less power. This also it reduces the surface attack. And any application, OS component, component built by Microsoft, component built by you, run in the same privilege, and of course, use only the capabilities that you declare in your application. That's really the way we change the security model of Windows Phone 8. I have a good example for that, Internet Explorer. I told you in the different goal we have, we would like, of course, to protect the user against himself. I told you that was the second point. The first point is user experience. We don't want to integrate security that will change the user experience of the user who provide a bad feeling about that. But also we would like to protect the user against themselves. And everybody knows that this end user connect to an Internet Explorer, to a browser, go to internet, something's wrong. Happens all the time. And how we protect the user against themselves with, the, for example, Internet Explorer? Internet Explorer run at the least privileged chamber. It also means that Internet Explorer can't interact. It can't interact with anything on the phone except the data which belong to Internet Explorer. You can't install any plugin. You can't. It's really a browser. You can browse. It supports HTML5. You can browse on the different websites. You can even change the option to have the computer experience. But you cannot install any plugin. And on top of it, we have integrated the anti-phishing protection and the smart screen filter. Thus, we have a kind of, smart screen. They have a kind of list of all the non-trusted website. And if the user go there, they're going to receive this message. And it's blocked. Thus, we really protect the user against themselves on top of the protection we made on the operating system. That was for the application. Of course, on phone, you have data. You probably install application. You've got probably sometimes application with database. You've got corporate information. Thus, how we protect the user? Very simple. We have an encryption system based on BitLocker. But this BitLocker is exactly the same technology as you have on a PC, except that it's not manageable. You can't screw, for example, the key and integrate it in Active Directory. It's completely transparent for the user. First point for us in the security on the phone. No interaction with the user experience. In this case, okay, the device is encrypted, it's always on. You can change that if you have a system center mobile device manager. I will explain that a little bit later. It's not manageable, not integrated, there's no PIN code, nothing. It's always there. And the best protection we made is each phone has a unique key with blood in the fuse. This is a kind of entropy. There's every phone is unique. There is no way to say, OK, I will copy a key from somewhere and try to interact with the content. No. And all internal storage is encrypted and is always on. The only thing which is not encrypted is the SD card, because now on Windows Phone 8, you can extend the storage of a phone through an SD card. But because we don't put any encryption on the SD card, and there are very simple reasons for that. We have no idea about the performance of the SD card that the user we put on the phone. And the decision was made to say, OK, we have no control on that. Thus, instead of take some risk, we're going to reduce what you can do with an SD card. Thus, on the SD card today, what you can store is music, pictures, video, all the media files. They are not encrypted. You can even take the SD card, put it on the PC, put all the music on it, come back and plug it back to your phone, even exchange the SD card from a phone to another one. You can even put an installation file of an application on the SD card and plug it on the phone. In this case, the phone will detect that you have an installation file and will ask you, do you want to install the app? And in this case, it will install the app in the storage of the phone. But not you don't have any application who can run from the SD card. And there is no way to change that. So that's really the way we protect the data. Thus, we protect the data through a full encryption always on. And we can extend it on the SD card, but only for media file. That's really the reason for it. Second protection is also very interesting. It's about the mail. It's the main purpose of the smartphone. On Windows Phone 8, we support what we call ERM. Means that if some of you have Exchange or SharePoint, you can integrate that in your Active Directory. It's very useful because when you send a private mail and you want to be sure that nobody are able to forward it or to forward the attachment or to change the attachment and take a screenshot of it or to modify it, we have what we call the ERM on the Microsoft technology, and it works on Windows Phone. You are able to open the mail, you are able to reply and keep the ERM, you are able to open the attachment, check what's there on in Word, Excel, whatever. But you are not the only limitation is you are not able to create an ERM message from the phone. You are just able to continue the chain. But it means that there is no difference in the experience that you can have with an ERM message in your PC and an ERM message you can receive on the phone. You don't need to open something special. You just receive it as a standard mail. It's just check if you have the right to open it. You can open it. And based on the policy we put in the ERM, you can do something and you can't do other things with this mail. Thus, when we look about what we have integrated as a security, thus we have the security bootloader to protect users and to protect the integrity of the phone. We have a secure model for public application. Thus, every application run in a least privileged chamber, and we are sure that if something's wrong, very, very small write, all binaries are signed, and the device encryption is on. Someone can tell me what's missing. I'm sorry? No, because the encryption is there. Another? No? No. Come on, it's the last session. I'm sorry? That's very close. Who used the phone? User device access. What's going to happen if you leave your phone somewhere? Imagine you have a phone with full of data, full of passwords, full of something, and you let your phone here and you leave, and someone take your phone. Thus, you need to protect the data and you need to protect the access because they are users. Thus, a device must be controlled and the data, the device access must be controlled. And how we solve that? In fact, we have different way for solving the device access as an enterprise, for example. We have, of course, what we call the exchange. I don't know, probably some of you already have that for the phone. With Exchange, I'm able to push some policies, and for example, one of the policies is if your device is not used, we lock your device after 2 minutes. And the second policies will be you have to have a PIN code to protect your phone, or even a strong password to protect your phone, to protect the access of your phone. That's the first way to protect the access. It's what we call also the light way, because it's very common. It's very simple to put in place. And if you want to go further, now on Windows Phone 8, we have what we call also the device management through System Center Mobile Device Management. And through System Center Mobile Device Management, you can also push policies, but you can also manage apps. You can also, you are able to manage what kind of apps do you want that the user use, or update some corporate apps. This is really for therefore device management, but also application management. This, let's take a look about what you can do. With Exchange, that's the first column here, the policies is almost the same from Windows Phone to Windows Phone 8, except one, with device encryption. Thus, from Exchange, you are able to disable or enable the device encryption. Why? Because in some countries, for example, Russia, China, there are other specific countries in the world where we can't use BitLocker because we can't use this kind of technology in those countries. Thus, we must be able to disable it. And as soon as you install a mobile device management, You, on top of it, you have other policies. For example, device the remote storage. You don't want that people use an SD card. Or maybe you want to make a remote update of some specific application. Those policies can be done through the mobile device management. And on top of it, you have a reporting about what kind of app they use, what kind of phone you have in your network, what kind of, just a kind of report and a kind of inventory about all the stuff you have in your corporate. Oh, it works. In fact, it's very simple. You know, it's a question of apps. I'm developing an app. Oh, it's going on as a corporate. The first thing that you have to do, in any case, you must register to what we call the Dev Center. We call it as well the App Hub. The URL is create.msdn.com. It's where all the developers goes to register as a developer and be able to submit an app to the store. And when you go there, you have two options. I register as individual, or I can register as a corporate. It's a little bit more expensive. And also the vetting means that the control of your identity is even longer. As an individual, it takes, it's almost instant. It's just a couple of minutes to be there. As a corporate, it takes longer. Why? Because the first thing, the corporate registers to the Dev Center as a corporate. Then after that, the enterprise will be able to download some specific tools to generate their own certificate. Because it's required to be able to deploy a private application to the phone. I told you, normally, everything with running on the phone must be signed. Thus, in this case, what they're going to provide you is some tools to be able to sign your own application. And to be able to do that, we use a third party who will check your identity. And that's why it takes longer. They will check if you are the right company and you have the right to do that, you have the right name with the right contact. They ask you a lot of questions to be sure that you are the right company. Imagine that if someone wants to develop an application, for example, for Kinepolis and say, I'm Kinepolis, and you are not. Does that, is really what they would like to avoid. Just we really check the identity of the company, and of course it takes longer. And when it's done, you are able to sign, well, you receive all the tools to sign your own binaries. Then the second part now. I'm ready. I'm the IT guys. I'm ready. I've got all the tools. That's what I would like to do is to deploy private application. I don't want to send it to the store because it's a private application and I don't want to that this, the application will be publicly available because it's internal application. Imagine a bank and they have used their own internal application, some SAP application. Well, you can imagine multiple scenarios for that. Thus, what's going well with that, as soon as you are registered as a company, the first thing that you can do, of course, you develop your private application. And then what you will be able to do is to sign this package with your own certificate that you receive. And in this case, the application is signed, but it's signed as you by you. Of course, there are some limitation with that, but the application is signed by you. And then you are able to integrate those applications in what we call a private app catalog. It can be something in the intranet. It can be somewhere protected through a login and password. It can be you can imagine multiple scenarios. If you're a big company, you can imagine that you can put those applications in different subfolder on a SharePoint portal, for example. And depending on the right you have with your login and password, you will see only the application which is required for you. And when it's done, people are able, you must generate what we call a token to activate your phone for the sideload, because by default, you can't install an application on a phone. If I put my phone, plug the cable on my PC, I'm not able to push an application on the phone. I must have a developer token or a token coming from my company to say, okay, now I unlock the phone and you can only install this application is signed by me. that's the way it works. Of course, and then you can deploy by mail or corporate app. I will go a little bit deeper with that. Does it means that for corporate application, you don't need to publish this app. You don't need to publish this app to the store. You can keep it private. You can really keep this application internally inside your inside your corporate, and you don't need to send it through the certification process and don't need to send it through the marketplace. And it's only people inside your corporate who will receive these specific tokens that will be able to install this app. And of course, imagine that, for example, I'm a consultant, I'm working in three different big companies, and I bring my own device. You know, that's the bring your own device. So I've got my device. And because I'm working in the company A, they have some specific application there. I'm going to the company B, they also have some application, and the company 3, they also have some specific application. No problem. The phone supports multiple private tokens. Thus, I can have multiple applications coming from multiple private company and have it on my phone without any conflict. Because an app is signed by a certificate, and the first thing that you're going to do is to install the certificate of this enterprise on your phone, and then all the app can be installed on the phone. And I can continue to install public app. No problem. Now the question is, what's going to happen when I leave this company? And that's the limitation of the model. When I leave this company, there is no way to revoke those tokens. This is why my advice is, as soon as you play with this kind of application, you must put somewhere an identity management. You must put somewhere for specific information, a login and a password inside the app, linked to something else, because there is no Active Directory integration with a phone. The only thing you have on a phone is the PIN code or a specific password, because it's the story between me and my phone. It's not something between me and the corporate. It's my phone. And now is my app need to access corporate data? Okay, that's the responsibility of the application itself to protect the data of my corporate infrastructure. And there is no support of VPN or stuff like that. Thus, we have to pass through TLS or to HTTPS. There is no signal sign-on. Thus, my best advice is, when you want to do that, put an identity management inside the application, just to be sure that if someone leaves, because it's my phone, I will not accept that you make a hard reset of my phone, because I have a lot of data on it, and maybe some tokens coming from other company. That's the only way is to protect your application from this kind of access, just by revoking the login and the password. And in this case, the application will be empty. Yes?
Didn't you just say that you could actually revoke apps from devices?
With a device management system. But here I'm completely out of the device management system. I have what we call an unmanaged phone. And also, I would like to support multiple organizations. And you will see the limit with the model of mobile device management is that you can support only one. Thus, about the enterprise app injection, means that the first thing that I told you, the application doesn't have to pass through the certification, and you don't have to submit your application to the marketplace. The application stays in your corporate. And of course, it means that the catalog is owned by you. Thus, you have your own catalog of every application. And the best way to manage that is, I told you, is through a web page or through probably a SharePoint portal or whatever. And of course, you are the IT, or you are responsible of those applications. If something's wrong, means that if, for example, the application is really bad, or if the application just crashed the phone, it's your responsibility. And imagine that if you provide a very, very bad application, your user probably will not be very happy with that. Thus, as soon as you play with this kind of stuff, you must be sure that the quality of the app is high, because we are now in the age where everyone have a smartphone, most of them play with apps. It's not like in late 90 or 2000 when it was... We have to control what they are doing because it was brand new. Today, everyone has a smartphone. Everyone has a device at home. And sometimes they have better device at home than what we have in the corporate. Thus, we really must be very, very careful about the quality of the app that you're going to develop as an IT company. And the rule is the same. Even for a corporate application, the application will run in a chamber. We will run in its own least privileged chamber. And it's not because it's a corporate application that it can interact with another corporate application. Thus, you must be sure that you put in place some mechanism that all those applications can work together, but not locally. It's the same. And it's the same for the capabilities. Means, for example, imagine that you developed an application and we integrate the location-based services. My advice is to do exactly the same as you do for a public app. Warn them, this application will use the location-based services and propose them to disable if they don't want. This is not because you developed a corporate application that you can't change the rule. You can, huh? But the feedback from your user will be very bad. Does that really, that's the way the application, the corporate application are managed by the user. Now about the Windows Phone 7 enterprise application, because of course we still have some Windows Phone 7 and most of them will be Windows Phone 7.8, but we still have Windows Phone 7. What's going to happen in the corporate enterprise if I would like to develop corporate application? Unfortunately, there is only one way to do it. You have to submit your application to the marketplace. You have to. No way to do in another way. But you can mark as hidden. Thus, the application will not appear in the catalog. No way to find it. No way to search or to crawl or whatever. The application is hidden. And how you will distribute it is you will distribute what we call a deep link of the application through an IRM mail. Thus, every user will receive a secure mail that they cannot forward. Of course, they can always take a picture with a camera. That's something else. But they're going to receive what we call the deep link through an IRM mail. And in this case, they are able to install the app. But your app has to pass through the certification process and have to be published on the store. And then the user can download and install the app. And of course, for the update of this app, you have to send the update to the marketplace. They're going to certify the update. And the user will receive a notification that there is an update of the application. And also, my advice for that is add, of course, an identity. Add what we call a user authentication inside the application. Because if something's wrong, you must protect the data behind that. Now, on Windows Phone 8, we have two different kind of scenario. We have what we call the unmanaged phone, mainly bring your own device. I bring my phone in your company. I don't want to be part of your strict management system. It's my phone. And I will use it with your application. That's the first scenario. And the second scenario is to say, okay, we're going to buy 100 phones and we're going to give it to all my users. And in this case, it can become a managed phone. And I can put in place some policies. Thus, for the unmanaged phone, we have a very simple scenario for that. I told you, the first thing have to be registered as an enterprise to the application hub. Then the IT are able to sign what we call the XAP file. A XAP file is the package to install an application on my Windows phone. And thus, with the enterprise certificate, they are able to sign it. Then the second step, they're going to send the specific mail with what we call the app enrollment tokens. The tokens allow to open the phone for this enterprise application to be installed. It's not the installation, it's just a certificate to say, okay, we support as well this specific signature. And of course, I send this kind of mail through an IRM message to be sure that it's protected and I will not send it broadly after that. And after that, the user are able to download and install app. We sign with this specific certificate. And that's really mainly what we are doing with, of course, the unmanaged phone. And we create a website or we create a specific what we call enterprise app store or via a client. We developed a specific client just to for the people able to browse the application that we suggest to install. Because that's also a new rule. It's not you who decide what kind of application that the user have to have on the phone. It's always at the initiative of the user. I will install the application. Of course, if it's part of the policy of the enterprise and on a sheet of paper somewhere you say, you must have installed this, but it's the only thing yet that you can do. You can't push multiple apps on a phone or you can't require that this application must be installed and controlled every day that this application is there. No way. It's always, we always let the user to install it and manage it. And now there is another kind of scenario, is what we call the managed phone. The managed phone is a little bit different. I'm a company, I buy 100 phones, and I distribute it to all the guys who is working for me. In this case, of course, I have more control, because it's not anymore my phone, but it's a phone coming from the corporate. And then I can say, okay, you have to install all those applications. They have some rules. You must install all those applications. You are not allowed, for example, to install public application. I don't want that you go to Facebook. I don't want that you go to... Okay, maybe you want to do it. On Windows Phone 8, no way to manage that. No way. There is no way to block the user. Does the only perspective you have to say, okay, on one side, it's my phone, thus I can create a corporate policy to say, you cannot install a Microsoft account, that's what we call a live ID, go to the store and install custom application. You are not allowed to install other application than the application which belong to the corporate. But it's a corporate policy on a paper. There is no way to do that in an IT way. That's the rule for the moment. But as soon as you are a managed phone, means that the phone is enrolled in a mobile device management infrastructures, it's going to be easy for the IT as well. Because the first thing, the provisioning is automatic. We have a client inside Windows Phone 8. They call that Enterprise Apps, I guess. It's on the settings. There is a client for mobile device management. We don't have to install a specific application before. And the only thing they have to do is we're going to send them a password with a unique one-time password. They type this password. The phone will discover the MDM infrastructures inside my infrastructures, and I will receive the certificate, I will receive the policies, my phone will reboot, and then it's integrated in my MDM system. And also it's interesting there is I have the opportunity to push one app. I cannot push 100 apps. It's not part of the trick. When you enroll a new phone with mobile device management, you can push one app. And what kind of app I suggest you to do is to create what we call an app up or corporate app up. I will explain just that later. It's an application that you will install on the phone at the moment the phone is enrolled. And from this application, they are able to see all the applications that are available for them, all the applications you suggest as a public application, and also other information. And in this case, you have a kind of central point for the user about all the applications you have inside your company. And the second thing which is interesting with the managed phone, the update of the application is managed automatically through MDM. Because you know the life cycle of a mobile application is continuously improving. Huh? You have the application version 1, and then you will add some new features in your corporate application. You want to update it. You want to make a mass deployment. It's MDM who will take care of that. You will publish the update on the MDM system, and automatically all the user, every 24 hours, I guess, will receive a notification that there is a new update for this application, and they install the update when they want. You can't push the update. That's the way we put the level of security for corporate application. And it's always the user who decides what to do with apps. That you have no control, except the first one that you push. And with MDM, is that to answer to your question, with MDM also, you are able to uninstall an application. With unmanaged phone, you can't. But with managed phone, you can decide to update or to remove an app, to remove a corporate app. You can't remove a public app which is coming from the store, but you can remove your own app and say, okay, you leave the company, no problem. I remove you from the MDM system, and automatically all the applications who belong to your corporate disappear. And due to the fact that every application runs its own sandbox, all the data who belong to each application disappear as well. And hop, the phone is clean. And you can do that with bring your own device phone as well. But in this case, you must ask to the user to say, do you agree that we're going to integrate your phone in my MDM system? Because we can already integrate one. He can integrate token coming from other company, but the phone can be only managed by one infrastructure. But it's very useful, huh? Even if you have a consultants in long term and they bring a Windows Phone 8 device, you can integrate it in the mobile device management. You are sure that they use the same corporate policy as you have. Even if they install private application, because the private application runs in their own sandbox, all your corporate applications are secure anyway, and thus there is no interaction between those applications, and the day you leave the company, you just revoke the phone from your MDM system, and all the data coming from your company just removed from the phone as well. It's almost just there in a couple of seconds. And in case someone loses phone, even if you are using Exchange or if you are using MDM system, or even end user can remotely reboot the phone or remote cleaning the phone. We have a website with windowsphone.com. Everyone who have a micro live ID and register the phone with his live ID can go to windowsphone.com, and there he can localize the phone and decide to remote hard reset of the phone because he lose it, or he can decide to make ring the phone because he's somewhere in the room, or even light up the phone. There are different controls that everyone can do with his own phone with his own live ID. And you as an IT guy, if you are using Exchange or if you are using MDM, you can decide to do it remotely as well. That's the different things we've put inside the security of my application. And now, the last point, of course, is this famous company hub. As soon as I've got a Windows phone who is managed by you, who is managed by the IT guys, of course, because you can push one app, my advice is to push this app. In the SDK, you receive the sample about this application. Of course, you need to work a little bit on it because the sample is a standard sample. But the main advantage of that, it can become the central point of corporate application for your user. And you can have on one side what we call the corporate application. You can have in the middle, for example, the suggestion about what kind of public app they can have. Imagine you use a Cybel or you use a specific third party in your company. Maybe this third party publish an app on the store, and you have to put the credential to use your own system. But no problem, you can put it there and say, okay, you want to access the ACP reporting, blah blah. Use this public application, put your credential which belongs to your company, and they will access to the data. And of course, as well, it's very nice to have what we call the news. It can come from a SharePoint website, it can come from different sources, and provide a kind of full line of information branded with your corporate. And it's just a very good feeling from the user with this kind of apps. We have it one at Microsoft, and it's very useful because each new app will appear, corporate app, appear there, and we don't have to read the mail in front of the other multiple mail we receive, or we don't have to ask to our co-workers to say, hey, where the apps come from? You open the app up and you see all the new apps there. This is very, very useful as well. And because you have the control of the content, you can decide to remove an app from there or to add new apps or to change the order of the apps. This is very useful. These templates is available for free with the SDK, and you will find it on Codeplex. There are some application hub there, and you can customize it very, very easy. Who attend the labs during tech days? Some? Oh yeah, some. But it's almost the same exercise. You have to change your color, change the feed, change the different sources. Thus, you know how to do it now. That's for the corporate app. Now, I told you we never say never when we talk about security. Thus, if something's wrong, what can we do? The first thing which is important, of course, you lose your phone, someone stole your phone, something happened with your phone. I have the opportunity to make a remote remote whip, a remote initialized of my phone. If my phone belongs to a corporate, the IT have the opportunity to do it as well. That's the first thing. And of course, you can do that to windowsphone.live.com. That's for the end users. The second thing which is important is the update. We have a kind of rules that we're going to make a normal updates once a month. It's what we call a Tuesday's update. That's normally we update regularly your phone and how it works. We send small package to your phone depending on the connection you have. And when the update is ready, you say, oh, you have a new update. Update. You don't need any additional software to update your phone. You don't need to connect to a PC. You don't need specific software. Everything is through OTA. And you can decide to do it through the 3G or through the wireless. And there is no way to control that. We control it. And that's also the big difference. It's now only Microsoft control the update. It's not manageable. And it's not manageable by IT neither. The only thing you can do if you have MDM is to update apps. But you cannot manage the update of the operating system like you do, for example, in Windows 7 or with the previous version of the operating system. That's the second point we have. And of course, through the update, we are able to change the keys. If we detect that something's wrong with a version, specific version of an operating system, because we detect that a bad version of an operating system exists somewhere, through an update, we are able to change some keys in the UEFI and say, okay, now this operating system is forbidden now. And if you have it on your phone, the phone starts in blue screen. It's really there to protect all the chain, all the data you have on the phone. And the last point, which is quite interesting as well, is the application revocation. If something is wrong on the marketplace itself, means that an apps appear and some contents pass through the certification process because it was hidden or because it arrived to a deep link inside the code or whatever, and something's wrong with this application, we can remove it from the marketplace and we can remove it from your phone as well. That's what we can do for the public app. And of course, if you have an enterprise app and the app belongs to the MDM, you can also decide that, boom, this app remove. And the app automatically disappears from the phone which belongs to your infrastructures. That's really what we have in place for the remediation if something wrong. That's it for my last session. If you have any question now, please go. Yes?
What is the cost of MDM?
I don't know. I really don't know. I invite you to contact your partner account manager for that and ask the price. Yes?
Are there any other options for user authentication than just screen password?
On Windows Phone, no. Because today we don't have any single sign-on, we don't have any integration with the Active Directory, we don't support smart card, no, none of them. It's really a question about me and my phone. And then if some things need to happen with the application and the rest of the infrastructures, it becomes the responsibility of the application. And there is no single sign-on and no certificate management. You can try to manage a certificate, but it's not an easy way to do it. Something else? No? Okay. Thank you. And drive safely, Bob. Yeah. Bye-bye.